Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Great book in the Bible here, the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews was written Hebrews, but it's beneficial to us for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There's a big debate on what man wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't even care to get into it. They're saying the Apostle Paul, and some people say John R. Rice did. That's what Jack Howell said. I don't know who wrote it. But the Lord wrote it, and he used some man's hand. And the book of Hebrews here tonight, I'm going to pull out a verse of Scripture in chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. You know, we're living in a terrible time. We're living in a time when everything seems to be changing. If you'll turn this one off here, brother, and give me a little bit on this, I believe I'll be all right. Look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. No, the softest pillow you can have is a clear conscience. Softest pillow you can have is a clear conscience. The reason a lot of people can't sleep is their conscience bothering them all the time. And boy, you don't live too many days with a perfectly clear conscience. But it sure is a blessing when you do, ain't it? Now look at verse number 23. Let us hold fast. There's some things we need to hold fast. The profession of our faith. Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We're supposed to provoke each other to good works, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. That means don't miss church, what that means. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The time ain't to come to miss church. The time's come to be there all the time. So I want to preach tonight on the subject, some things the church cannot afford to lose. Some things the church cannot afford to lose. The church in America today is supposedly rich and increased with goods. We could afford to lose some things. Most churches in America today are extremely blessed. We could afford to do without some things. There's churches on the mission field tonight that are meeting over there in straw huts, sitting on benches, don't even have anything over them. We'll walk for miles, swat mosquitoes, and then get mad when the service is less than 2 or 3 hours, really. I mean, they heat it up. We here in America let 4 drops of rain keep us from a church service and won't sit in an air-conditioned building on a padded seat and with lights and sound equipment and carpet on the floor. We could do without some things in America. We could do without all of our fussing and fighting and all of our dead, dried up, dull, disgraceful services. These churches all over Burke County has had church this morning, and it was absolutely as dead as 4 o'clock. And then we have gall to get up and talk about lost people for not coming to church. It ain't no wonder people don't want to come to church no more. We might as well be honest about it tonight. Most churches you go to are absolutely so boring and so dry and dead. There's churches where nobody's been saved in 6 months, a year, 2 years, some of them 8, 9, 10 years. There's churches where there's cobwebs on the first front 8 or 10 rows. You know how you know you're in a messed up church? I ain't going to preach on this. Where the front rows are empty. You watch out for a church where the front rows. I preach in a lot of churches. And there's nobody on this row, nobody on this row, nobody on this row. And the back row's packed, and they sort of filter out right in here in the middle somewhere. There's something bad wrong when you got to go early to get a back seat in a church. Ain't that right? I mean, something's wrong, brother. It ain't that way at a football game. It ain't that way at a concert. It's that way at church. You see these guys crowded in? There should always be a bunch of young men that all they want to do is shout and praise God on the front row, and a bunch of fine young ladies on the second row praying that God would give them one of them fine young men. That's right. That's the way you know a real church. When you're really, that's true. I mean that, brother. And that's right. And that's proper and right. And amen? I'm telling you, listen, if you know what you're praying for, you might change your prayer. But the Lord might give it to you. Be careful what you pray for. But anyway, I've seen them shout the doors down, and they prayed and got them one, and they wound up knocking them down to the door. Anyway, we don't need that. I heard about that illustration where they said the little church was on the hill in a little country village, you know, a little bitty white church up on top of the hill. And they said one day it caught on fire and the building was burning, and everybody in town was going to pitch in, and they had buckets of water running up that hill and trying to put out the fire in that little country church. And it just so happened that the church deacon and the town atheist was side by side. And the deacon was running up the hill, atheist running up the hill, had his bucket of water, and the deacon looked over at the atheist and said, "Pah, first time I ever seen you running to church." And the atheist looked back and said, "First time I ever seen the church on fire." Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Listen, if a church would get on fire, people might run to it a little bit more. Fire attracts people. And so tonight, let's talk about this. It's more than just putting up a sign, say we're having church here, or a steeple on a building. There's some things tonight that our church cannot afford to lose. Let me ask you a question tonight. I already know what my answer to this question is. I believe it. How many of you believe that God put us together here at Shining Light Church? Raise your hand. You believe that? Okay. Now, if you believe that, I believe it. I really, really believe it. I'm not saying that because I'm the preacher. I believe that. I believe that it's evident that God has put us together as a group. Now, if the Lord has put us together, and if the Lord has brought me here and brought you here, then why in the world? Let's just go ahead tonight and bind ourselves together and make this thing as good as we can possibly make it. Amen? Let's do it. And so tonight, let's talk about some things the church can afford to lose. Number one, we cannot afford to lose our Christ-centered services. We cannot afford to do it. Jesus Christ must be first and foremost in everything. That means there's three things that ought to characterize our services here at the church. Sometimes we might have a Christmas play. Sometimes we might have a skit or something like that. But 99% of the time, there should be three things that characterize our services when we meet to have church. You know what those three things are? They are prayer, they are praise, and they are preaching. They are praying, praising, and preaching. Did you hear me? Brother, we can't afford to lose that. In a lot of places tonight, you know what they're doing? They're moving out the pews and putting on the walls on Sunday evening and bringing in a rock band and saying, "All right, this is our contemporary service." And all the young people, you know, do this kind of stuff with them. Listen, brother, we got to have preaching, we got to have praying, and we got to have praising. If we don't, we are out of business. We cannot afford to lose it. I know, brother, I know how I am. I know how I am. Y'all know me. I know, y'all know me. Man, I got a crazy streak up my back that wide. Thank God for it. He can use that if we'll let Him. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I'm fashioned enough to believe that a church can't be what it ought to be without preaching, without praying, and without praising. We got to keep this altar wet with our tears. We got to keep using this altar. Listen, these churches tonight where there ain't been nobody on the altar, that's a disgrace to God. We ought to use that altar. We ought to pray on this altar. We ought to preach from this pulpit. And we ought to raise our hands and praise God once in a while. Somebody said, "Well, you should praise God according to the dictates of your heart." You're about half crazy. Somebody shot you a curve, everybody. You're to praise God according to the way that book says. And that book said they praised God where they raising their hands, they said amen, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That's what it said. That's how they worship God in the Bible. Listen, I can see some of these people. You know, some people say, "Well, I just don't believe in being emotional." Yeah, you watch them when they go to their grand youngin's ball game. I scream like a Comanche Indian. You watch them. I mean, come to church and sit like a wooden Indian. That's that crowd that don't believe in being emotional. That's that crowd that says that, you know, little preaching gets them nervous. I tell you, we ought to have some preaching. We ought to have some praising. Every one of you, you young people, teenagers, every one of you, all at once, just throw your little bony hand up there, or chubby hand in some cases, and just say, "Praise God, hallelujah, let the Lord have His way." You ought to praise Him a little bit. Somebody said, well, the Lord just ain't moving. I'll tell you how to get the Lord to move. You start worshiping Him, brother. You start worshiping Him. He'll show up. A lot of people say, boy, if God come through, we'd worship. You got it backward. You worship Him, He'll come through. Amen. Bible said God inhabits the praise of His people. I know, boy, I tell you what, this morning was rough, wasn't it? Lord have mercy. Lord, it was rough. It was raining, kids are running everywhere. That bus wreck over yonder in Lenore, all kind of bad things happened. And boy, you know, I was about ready to pull my hair out. I took them 11 home, young'uns home with me. They come over and help me. I stood out in the pouring rain, cooked hot dogs on the grill out there. I was soaked. Some reprobate pushed me in the swimming pool. Back there, I had on my shoes, pants, everything. I was about ready to cuss, man. I got them kids home about 3 o'clock. And I said, Lord, I'm about aggravated with a bunch of other stuff that I ain't gonna tell you about. And people getting mad and people getting their feelings hurt and everything else. And I had somebody say something to me out yonder. And Lord, have mercy. But you know what? I just come back tonight to praise God. Amen. I just come back tonight. Lord's my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Ghost is my Comforter. Heaven's my home. I ain't going to hell. Well, I shout a little bit and praise Him a little bit. Say amen right there. You know what Southerners are, and I are one, but you know what Southerners are bad for? We're bad not to praise God till we feel it. You ought to praise God just because He's God. You ought to worship Him because of who He is and what He is, not because of how we feel, not if we just got a big check in the mail, not if we've got something else out there in the world or a new car. We ought to just praise Him because He's God. Amen. We cannot afford to lose our Christ-centered services. You know what would fix all of our problems? You know there's people here, you're not going to believe this, you know there's people go to our church have hard feelings against each other? You don't believe that, do you? No. Not that shining light. There's young people here that gossip about each other. Just today I've heard gossip that some of y'all have gossiped about each other. I've heard it. And you know who you are, and the Lord knows who you are. And brother, listen, I've heard somebody, not that shining light. No! Not the shinettes. No! I'm crushed. Don't tell me that they're sinners too. Yes, sir, brother, I'll tell you what. You know what to fix all that stuff. You know what to fix griping. You know what to fix hurt feelings. Just one good time, the Lord blowing through and melt our hearts and soften us back up. And brother, they'll wipe the slate clean. That's what we need. We've got to come and worship God. Our prayer should be, brethren, we are meant to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the Word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Somehow or other, I forgot the rest of that verse, but he had some good stuff. We need to pray that holy manna will be showered all around. We cannot afford to lose it. There are churches all over this country that used to shout the victory. And now they all got a bunch of wooing and swaying and laying back and forth and to some kind of rock and roll beat, brother. Listen, God ain't in rock music. Won't be in rock music. You don't get rock music to get a bunch of kids in the church. You can feel a completely different spirit move in when that stuff starts playing. Amen. Somebody said, well, it's just their type of worship, and we have our type of worship. God don't move rock and roll music. He moves out, that's all. The devil moves in that way. You hear me tonight? We cannot afford to lose our Christ-centered services. Number two, a church cannot afford to lose our convictions. We cannot afford to lose our convictions. Convictions are not to change. Preferences may or may not change. Now, I have a lot of things that are a preference. I prefer certain things. I can bend on a preference. I can't bend on a conviction. If you got a conviction, you believe it's something you believe, and it can't be no other way. There are certain things we believe. We believe about the blood. We believe about the book. We believe about the blessed hope. We won't give. We won't budge. We won't bend. There's some things about the way you wear your hair or whatever, you know, or what kind of shoes you got on. That may be what we call preferences. But brother, there are some things that are convictions. and convictions that are based on the Word of God cannot be changed. We ought to keep our convictions about the Bible. This book right here is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, living Word of the living God, the King James 1611 Authorized Version. If you've got a New International Version, you've got a version that leaves out the plan of salvation in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. My favorite preacher on TV reads it, and it's easy. I don't care, brother. I don't care if everybody's it. It's not supposed to leave out Acts 8, 37, where a man's getting saved. It's not even in there. It goes 35, 36, 38. I don't want a Bible that calls that leaves out the plan of salvation in Acts 8, 7. Say amen right there. Yeah. Some of you might have been slipping on that just a little bit. So every once in a while, I just have to take a hammer and nail it down a little bit. That's right. I don't want a Bible that says El Hanan killed the giant over in 2 Chronicles, 2 Samuel, over there 19. 21. I don't want a Bible. The NIV says El Hanan killed the giant. 2 Samuel 21:19, something like that. And somebody look at that right quick in your King James. I don't want a Bible that says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. I don't want a Bible that denies the Trinity in 1 John 5:7. I don't want one. I want the book that told me what's right. That tells me about the Trinity. That leaves the plan of salvation. That calls Him the Son of God in Daniel 3. Walking with the Hebrew children. You know, the NIV don't have Jesus walking with the children of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It said the form of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Who knows that? Your King James says the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen? Well, listen, there's some things we can't afford to lose, and one of them is our conviction that that Bible is right, and it's the Word of God. You find it for me, boys? Somebody find it? 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel 21:19. I thought I had that wrong a minute ago. 2 Samuel 21:19. Your King James Bible said that he slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite. And Chronicles confirms it and even gives that feller's name. You don't want the NIV. It's got a lie in it. El Hanan didn't kill Goliath. David killed Goliath. Say amen. Now, if you love the truth, you'll say, well, he's right. He's right. But if you say, but my Bible study group and my favorite preacher, oh, shut up. Don't worry about that. You should love the truth. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. I showed that to a lady at work in a bookstore one day, and she tore her lid. She said, well, my pastor said I should get one. I said, I'm not trying to be ugly, ma'am, but I don't want a Bible that says El Hanan killed a giant. And I picked it up and showed it to her, and she said, oh, well, I'm not getting one then. people think all it changes is these and thous. That's because they don't read either one of them, King James or... Amen? We ought not to lose our convictions. Not only that. Number three tonight, we ought not to lose our character. You know what our character is? What we are. Our character is what we are. We're living epistles. You know what Paul told him one day, people? He said, you're living epistles, known and read of all men. You know what? You ever heard this saying? You are the only Bible that some people are ever going to read. They don't read it, but they watch you. They know you come to this church. They're going to watch you like a hawk. Boy, you say you're a preacher? Oh, yeah, here's a preacher. They watch every move you make. Listen, boys. Let's just say, all right, Tim, come on, stand up here just a second. Tim's working over here at a factory in Lenore. All right, here's old wicked sinners. And here comes a little, well, I ain't going to get a little flea up here. There's some floosies here tonight, but I'm not going to get them up here. Here comes a little floosie walking by. And she is, it's summertime, and she's scantily clad. Amen. That means that she took off everything she can take off without getting arrested. And she walks by. You know what them old sinners will do at work? They won't even watch her. They'll watch you to see if you watch her. Amen. Look at it. Let's watch it. They're trying to catch. Listen, we can't afford to lose our character. What we are. Amen. All right, go ahead and sit down now, brother. Listen, you hear me tonight? Did you see him watch that floozy when she went by? Hey, listen. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, brother. Listen, they're watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you. They're watching me. Listen, we can't be perfect, brother, in this flesh, but we ought to not lose our character. what we are. Amen. We're living epistles known and read of all men. We're a light to God's sinners. The Bible is the character of those. You know how you know the Bible's Word of God? By the character of people that oppose it. You can tell the Bible's true. Look at the people that's against it. Like Howard Stern. Like that old guy. My daughter called me. Carrie called me one day. About a year ago. And she said, "Daddy, turn your TV on." And she said something channel. She said, "Who is this idiot?" And I turned it on there. And it was some old ugly, ugly leather-faced man with a cowboy hat on. And he had this microphone. He's going, running his mouth. Called Imus. And he must be one, all right. And but I'll tell you, I didn't listen to him talk 5 minutes, so I was ready to fight. And the other day, Dr. James Dobson had on his program, Focus on the Family. Y'all, how many of y'all listen to James Dobson on Focus on the Family? You know what I'm talking about. He's a great man, great teacher and all that, great on the family and all that. Listen, he had on there, and Imus in the morning was saying all kinds of bad things about Dr. Dobson. He said, "Somebody ought to whip his you-know-what." He said, "I'll take him out." He was cussing Dr. James Dobson. Now, you know what that proves to me? That proves to me that Dr. Dobson was right on that issue. And our president is right on these appointing of these Supreme Court judges that are pro-life, too. Say amen, Roger. I just throw that in there. It won't cost you nothing. You say a preacher shouldn't mention politics. That's why God called me and not you. He knows you didn't have enough sense to get up here and preach what you're supposed to. That's right, brother. You're about half crazy. I'm talking about politics. I'm talking about morality. Ain't got nothing to do. I like what Derek said in Sunday school this morning. They said, "What are you going to do if Schwarzenegger runs? Vote for whoever's right." I'd vote for a Democrat, brother. I'd vote for Jehovah's Witness if he said the right thing. I'd vote for the Pope if he stood for the right thing. We're supposed to vote for what's right, not what a party says. Say amen. 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 That's our character. Boy, I got mad at Imus. Man, somebody needs to cuss him out. But the Lord's going to do it one of these days. That's right, buddy. That's right. If you can listen to somebody like that talk, not get aggravated, or Howard Stern, or somebody like that, and not just something rise up in you, you're backslid. You are backslid, brother. Hey, listen, if somebody's in that way about my mama, my blessed mom that was here this morning, boy, I tell you, she'd done more for me than any other human being in this world. If somebody was bad-mouthing my mom, I ain't going to take but so much. I might be little, but I can get one of these things. Amen. That's right, brother. I can swing this thing. And I would if I had to for my mom. And Jesus has done more for me than my mama. The Lord has done more for me. He died to keep me out of hell. I don't see how we can just sit and let people use His name as a cusser and it don't bother us a little bit. Backslid, backslid, backslid. Church cannot afford to lose our character. Reason a lot of people won't go to church, they don't see no difference between them and the people that go to church. Ought to be something different. We're not supposed to be holier than thou. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Surely, God, there's got to be a difference. Amen? Our character, our love for each other, we can't afford to lose. None of that. Number four, we can't afford to lose our contract. I said, first of all, we can't afford to lose our Christ-centered services. I said, second, we can't afford to lose our convictions. We can't afford to lose our character. We can't afford to lose our contract. Amen? Our contract, what we promise. Now, when we join church, and we got some people going to join tonight. Might not want to after you hear all this. But listen, when we join a church, everybody listen up to me here now. When you join this church, you're promising three things. Promise your time, your talent, your tithe. When you become a part of a church, you're supposed to say, "By the grace of God, when they're having church, I'll be there if I can. I'll support it financially, and I'll give them a talent
You, I can sing in the choir. Whatever talent I've got, I'll use it for the glory of God. And be, I know, listen, you are promising that. You made a contract. I know people say, well, Brother Danny, I was sick one time and he didn't even call me. Lord, listen, you laid out 10 times and didn't even call me and tell me where you was at. I was worried about you. You hurt my feelings. You offended me. I got feelings too, you know. We can treat the church and the preacher any way we want to. Boy, if they mistreat us, oh, how awful. How could they? Bless your heart, I'm depending on you too. I'm depending on you to be in your sing. I'm depending on you to be in your Sunday school class. I'm depending on you to be on your bus. You've let me down. Don't everybody shout all at the same time. Now, I know sometimes you have to, sometimes you're sick, sometimes you have to work. And sometimes you go on a vacation once or twice a year. But Lord, have mercy. There ain't no sense in missing church 90% of the time. Say amen. Amen. Our contract. Let me just talk here just a minute. The Lord laid some things on my heart to say. I have been directly in bus ministry for 25, 6 years. I've seen the devil hit buses, bus workers and bus ministers a lot in 26 years. But I have never, ever seen an all-out attack on bus workers like our bus workers here in the last couple of months. Ever. I don't know if you realize it or not. I was going over my mind praying for them last night. Every bus worker we've got has been hit in the last few months by the devil. The devil hates our bus workers. The devil hates our bus kids. He don't care if his old people sit in here and smile. They ain't going to change for God, man, or devil. Really. I don't mean that bad. God bless old people. We need some. We need some more. We don't have a lot of old people. These two right here, one or two more. I mean, the average age of our church is about 30, I reckon. We need some more. I'm not being ugly, but they ain't going to change. The devil can't change them. God can't change them. Nobody can change them. They're sought in their ways. That's what Grandma said. They're sought in their ways. You waste your breath on them. You just hope they smile and pay the bills. That's right. That's about all you're going to get out of them. But you know who the devil hates? These little kids. He hates them. That's why he's got them to raise them up on Nickelodeon. So they can go from Nickelodeon right to MTV, and from MTV right into the club. Amen? Brother, he wants them in a club drunk. He wants them in a club doing wrong, shooting up dope. And he starts on them when they're that high. By twisting around, dancing, he's preparing them to ruin their life. So he's attacking our bus workers. And I'm going to tell you, some of y'all done got out of the bus ministry, and some of you thinking about it. I know you are. Let me just say, give you a little word. I've been in this thing a long time, and I've seen people love kids. If God, I know everybody ought to help once in a while, but there's certain people in the church that God puts His hand on. He wants you to work with bus kids, and you just know it. Deep down in your heart, you know it. I don't have to tell you. You know it. You know it. You've got a talent for it. God's blessed you. You've got a burden for Him. And if you don't do it, the day will come when you'll look back and you'll say, right there's where I messed up, is when I quit working with them bus kids. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. I know people right now that ain't doing nothing for God, and they quit bus work 10 years ago, and they said, my life, I ain't grown one bit spiritually since I quit doing what God gave me to do. I know it's hard. This morning, as you know, car hit Tim and them old young. They had 40 kids on the bus. Nobody got hurt. It wasn't his fault. He didn't get a ticket. Right? Who do you think caused that to happen? Who do you think don't want them kids here at church? Can we sue them or anything? No, I'm just kidding. I don't mean that. I'm just kidding. I'm just thankful nobody got hurt and everything's all right. No harm done. And then Mike, he was drunk and hit a telephone pole. He did. Tore the bumper off his out there. He didn't want Tim to outdo him, so he went and wrecked his this evening. We love you, brother. We'll give him some attention. Everybody pat him on the back. Tell him they appreciate him. Dr. Wreck the Bus gets us to like you. But brother, I'm going to tell you something. Our insurance, they're going to think something's fishy when we wreck two buses in one day. We ain't never had nothing happen. And they said, Brother Danny, look here. Brother Danny, they want to show me this. They want to show me their dog. They want to show me, one of them had a frog. Little D.D. come out, and he had a frog in a box. He said, look. The frog jumped out, and his sister jumped like that, and they was all trying to catch it. And I told them they'd get warts on their hands, and they was all playing with that frog. And I got in the car and got ready to leave. I got in my car and got ready to leave. And E.J. leaned over my window and said, don't leave. And I said, E.J., I got to go, honey. He said, why? I said, I got to preach in the morning, and Brother Danny's tired, and I got to get home and study that. And he said, don't leave. Sometimes he said, yeah. You too busy for that little kid? I said, okay. Opened the door, and I said, got out. Got back out of the car. I said, what do you want to do? He took me back in the house. We walked around. And I'm telling you, we walked in that little old trailer. Some of you people think you're hard, I'm bad off, and you're just poor and all that. You know what your problem is? You've been watching too much TV. Go with me Saturday. Come on out here and go with me Saturday. You'll be shouting a victory. Your problem is you're spoiled rotten. He said, look at these cats. Look at these cats. I said, what cats? They had some movie playing on TV there and had blood and guts, somebody cutting people's heads off and everything. It was awful. And I said, EJ, what is that? Shoot. And I said, oh, you don't need to look at that. And they said, look, I mean, blood, guts, every movie it was. It was awful. This man had blood all over him, something about cats. And I went in there and sat down as long as I could stand it. And finally I left. You know what? I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? The Lord loves that little old boy. The Lord loves that little old boy. The Lord loves it. And if Jesus was here in the flesh, I guarantee you, his heart would go out after him little kids like that. Brother, I'm telling you tonight, shining light, God gave us them buses out there. I wasn't even looking for them. A man told me, and the money came in 2 days, $6,000. We bought them 4 buses. I don't think they ought to be parked. I don't think they ought to be sitting on the side of the church house somewhere. I think they ought to be bringing boys and girls. And these people sitting right here this evening, if we get our hearts where they need to be, our character, our contract. Brother, we made a contract with God. Let's get on the ball and fill them buses full like they ought to be. Amen? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all y'all. Well, I can't preach. We all got that excuse. I could say I've got a lot to do on Saturday. My grass is that high. I had to preach this morning. I could have said I need to stay here and study. But it comes to a point where, are you willing to do something for God? Or are you just going to put your own feelings first? You know what somebody asked me the other day? Somebody asked me, they said, Danny, won't you come see me Saturday? I said, I can't. I got to work. They said, where do you work on Saturday? I said, I got a bus route. And that's the way you look at your bus route. You got to look at it like it's your job. You can't look at it like, well, this come up, so I can't go this time. Well, this come up, so I can't go this. Well, this come up. If you're going to be a bus worker, you have to be committed to that bus. I'm stupid. Sometimes not in this pulpit. I won't be Wednesday night. But when I'm not in this pulpit, I make sure that my job's covered and somebody's doing my work. I'm not unreasonable. I'm not crazy. I'm not, brother, we have a job to do. God has given us those buses. Now, if God's called us to do it, let's get busy and do it. Amen. That's our contract. Amen. If you want to be out of the will of God, brother, it's your business. I want to try to fill them buses full. I know God don't want everybody to drive. God don't want everybody, but He wants somebody. He wants somebody. I'm not fussing at all. I thank God for everyone that helps in any way. But if you know it, if God's put it in your heart, and He's given you the ability to reach kids, that's what He wants you to do. We can't lose our compassion. We can't lose our compassion, our love for the Lord, our longing to see lost people saved. I will say this. Since I fussed there, I'll brag on you for a second. Listen. We got paid one of the best compliments we've ever been paid this week. A preacher from near Lincoln and called me. I believe it was Friday night. I stayed home Friday night. And you can believe this or not, but I painted my pool furniture because I wanted it to look good for them little kids coming over today. Really. Somebody told me, said, are you trying to fix it up then? I said, yes, I am. And I spray painted my furniture, so I want to have a good time. Buddy, we had a soggy good time. It was awful. It was awful. Absolutely awful. My forerunners covered with mud. Oh, gosh, it was awful. But they had fun. I had towels stacked up in the hallway. They didn't bring no towels. All my towels are dirty with mud on them piled up in the hall. The hallway, that's falling in the hall. Water was this deep in the hallway. You say, I wouldn't do that. I would, and I'm going to do it again. Amen. Because God, you say, well, let's just tear up your house. God gave me that, and He can give me another. I have to. Well, anyway, preacher called me, and he said, Danny, he said, let me tell you something. He said, I got something, thought you might be a blessing. I got a letter from him right here. Got out of the mailbox a while ago. From Tabernacle Baptist Church in Denver, North Carolina. He said, there is a boy. He said, his mom said he's wild as a buck. He's wild as a buck. He's crazy. Said, that boy is crazy. He said, nobody could do nothing with him. And he said, it's coming up youth rally time. And he said, I told his mama, he said, if I can get him in that car, he said, I'm going to take him somewhere where some people praying and fasting. He'd been listening to me on the radio. Talking 40-day fast. Now, y'all listen to me now. This is a compliment. Best compliment I've ever heard about our church. He said, I'm going to take him where some people have been praying and fasting. He said, if I can get him in this car. Well, they got him in there. He said, I got him in the car and six others. He said, I brought him Friday night. And he said, the boy got saved. He said, that boy walked down the aisle. He got right with God. And he said, he ain't missed church service since back down there in Denver. Now, I'm going to tell you something, people. The best advertisement this church has ever had is when lost people's out there and talk to them and say, hey, I know where I can take them. I know where I can take them where some people have been praying and fasting. And all them days of fasting and all that, when the TV's off and all that work, brother, pays off when boys and girls, listen, that boy stay out of prison. He's already missed hell. He can live a life. He can win souls because we pay the price. What do you think? That's our contract. That's what we promise when we become Christians and members of the church. Amen? Brother, it works. Our charter, and I'm through. Our contact is witnessing to the lost. I'd love to have a testimony like that. I got to thinking about when we hung up, I thought, if I wasn't a preacher, and we didn't have shining light. And you ask yourself this question. And I had a kid, a teenager that was wild. Where would I take him where I know his heart would be tough? Where would you take him? You can count them on one hand or less. I know two or three churches where I think I could take a wild teenager where their heart might be touched at church. That's a shame, isn't it? Brother, that's what we got. We got it right here. We may not be much. I ain't never been invited to the ministerial assassination, thank God. And I won't be. But I tell you what, when lost people say one thing about it, when you take them over there, they're going to hear something and they're going to feel something. That's the best testimony we can have. We can't afford to lose that. Can't afford to lose it. Our charter, what we follow, the Savior, the Scripture, and the Spirit. Savior, the Spirit. That's what we follow. The Savior, not our feelings. The Savior, the Scripture, the Spirit. Not what Grandma dreamed. The Savior, the Scripture, the Spirit. I will say this, and I'm done. They're coming to get us. All you young people here at our church, like
Somebody said, Derek, somebody said, thank God for you. I love you. You're my favorite young people. But I don't know, some of you let the youth come and go. There ain't a bit of difference in you. Not a bit. I mean, it's a shame people come here from all over the country and they go back different. And we right here in it, let it pass us by and stay backslid. That ain't right. Well, let's get right. We're headed into the wickedest summer the world's ever seen. 05, brother. It ain't never been no worse. We can't afford to lose some of these things. I'm going to ask you tonight. I'm going to ask some people tonight to get on this altar and say, listen, I can't be a bus worker every Saturday. I can't. My job requires me to be there, whatever. I can't do it.